All right, what a beautiful buzz in the house. Love this. Thank you so much for greeting each other in the name of the Lord. And this morning we have a special treat. Our lead pastor, Jimmy, and his wife, Pastor Annette, are at a conference along with Pastor Brian Mendel and his wife, Naomi, about Christianity and culture. They're getting charged up, ready to bring something back. But this morning we have Brother Tommy Hayes that is going to bring us our message. Many of you know him. Let's honor him this morning. And Tommy, I'm going to pass it over, and I'm going to head back with our students. You come on up. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Brian.
Love you. I got one.
Oh, you got one. That's right.
All right. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, honored to come and share the word with you all today. My wife, Rosu, and I, we lead a ministry in town, Messiah Ministries, by the Holy Spirit. God's setting us free to be all God created us to be. And we love it that Bridge is our home-based church right here in Texas. And just thank y'all for every way that you welcome us and help us feel so loved. Do you feel loved in this place? Wow, we love everybody that ever comes to Bridge says, I feel so loved. I feel so welcome. For we are the family of God here in this place. I know even as we speak, people are gathering there in Arizona for the memorial service to celebrate the life of Charlie Kirk, to honor his legacy, to honor all that God has done in him and through him, and all that God will do now. But as he was like a seed sown into the ground, like a kernel of wheat that must first die, but then if it dies, it will produce a harvest. And there's a harvest that is coming. Do you believe a harvest is coming? God is doing an awakening. There's an awakening that's happening in the hearts of this land, in our hearts, and it's a fire. There's a fire that's been ignited that will never burn out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was moved this week to hear the words from his mentor that shared one of the very last text messages he had received from Charlie Kirk. He quoted 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. A wide door for effective work has been opened up to me, and there are many adversaries. Talking about a wide door that's open, an opportunity to share the hope that is in us, the love that is in us, to share it with boldness, to share it with faith like Charlie did. What an example, what a shining light, what a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open doors, opportunities to open our mouths, open our hearts to share the love of God wherever we're positioned. For God is love, and God releases his love through the people of God, through our words, our hearts, our hands. We are his hands and feet in the world. Amen? And yet, even though God's opening doors and he's shining his light, he's letting his love, his truth flow through us, there are many adversaries. I mean, many adversaries, and when the scriptures are talking about adversaries, we must understand we're not talking about human beings. Talking about, as the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 6, our true enemies are not enemies of flesh and blood. Our true enemies are the spiritual forces of evil. In this present darkness, we have many adversaries. And yes, there may be human beings that are used, human beings that have free will, human beings that can make wicked, evil choices with the influences upon their minds, upon their hearts, their lives. But ultimately, our true enemy is not that human being. Our true enemy is the devil. Y'all believe we're in a spiritual battle? And we have the battle every day. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is the one who's in us than the one who's in the world. So we're in a battle, and we're open doors and opportunity to share the love, the truth, the faith of God with boldness and courage as never before. But at the same time, we have to understand there are many adversaries. You know, in our adversaries, adversaries of intimidation, adversaries of fear, adversaries of deception, confusion, twisting and distorting the truth and the facts to produce some narrative that's not even true. To try to divide us, to stir up hate or rejection or anger among us. But the one who is love prevails within us. And love never fails. And God is love. God is a father, a good, good father. We are his sons and his daughters. And God has revealed his love in the flesh through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still releasing his love, his truth through us wherever we are in this world. So what a model, what an example we have through our brother, Charlie Kirk, who literally laid down his life for the sake of the gospel, for the name of Jesus Christ, for the message of truth and love and life in every form. Who's ready to carry on that message? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We honor his life, his legacy, his family. We honor what's happening in the world. You know, not too long ago, right before his death, they said there was 2,200 or so chapters of Turning Point USA. And now there's over 5,000 applications to be part of it. In fact, somebody showed me between services, it's up to 68,000 applications right now. God is on the move. God is taking what has happened. He's turning around for good. Thank you, Lord. Y'all ready to be part of that? I mean, not holding back, not shutting up, not being silenced, but ready to speak boldly the name of Jesus. Speak boldly the truth of the love of God. Every way God would reveal it in us. We are in the midst of an awakening. Thank God for the revival. As Pastor Jimmy says, the revival is here. Well, there's an awakening that is coming. Many have spoken. You know, we've had a first great awakening in America. We've had a second great awakening. And many are anticipating that there's a third great awakening that is rumbling, that is rising up, that's about to be released in the name of Jesus. Are y'all ready to be part of that? Amen, amen. We are a part of that. God is awakening a people. Makes me think of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, that it says, "Oh, sleeper, awake. Oh, sleeper, arise and Christ will shine on you." I tell you, in the name of Jesus, the slumber that's been on America, be broken in Jesus' name. That slumber, that heaviness, that thing that makes us want to feel complacent or distorted or holding back or compromising with the culture around her, in the name of Jesus, be broken right now. That kind of slumber, slumbering spirit, be broken off our minds, broken off our hearts, be pushed back off of our land. Do you agree? Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Lord. In the place, see, God always replaces. He reveals and removes, and then he replaces. He's revealing. There's been a spirit of slumber. There's been a heaviness. There's something that's almost like lulled us into sleep, lulled us into a complacency in our nation. But God, somebody say, but God. But God. God is revealing that. He is removing that. He is replacing it with an awakening. An awakening in the name of Jesus. Let's just declare that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we renounce slumber and we receive awakening. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So y'all are getting something now that they didn't get in the first service. Poor Michael, he told me, "Tommy, you changed your whole message. All our slides, none of them fit." If y'all don't mind, I'm just going to go with the Holy Spirit, all right? Amen, amen. Well, this week, just preparing for this message to share this morning, Pastor Brian told me, "Now, Tommy, we've been on a series of doing faith and family and freedom." Hadn't that been a great series? Hearing the word of God, stirring us up in our hearts to be about faith, to understand our family. We're part of the family of God. And in the freedom that we have in this nation, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Thank you, Lord. And where there's freedom, we can sense the Spirit of the Lord moving. So he said, you know, your message Sunday morning, I want that to be like an exclamation point on our series of faith, family, and freedom. So if my voice sounds a little strange, it's because I was putting the exclamation point this morning. So praying about the message today, you know, in my morning prayer time, I praise God for Pastor Jimmy. He shares many times out of his morning prayer time when he gets with the Lord. And I try to do the same. I try to let it be the first moments of my morning. Try to get in the presence of the Lord. I journal it. I speak out. "Good morning, Lord Jesus," because that's what I said nearly 30 days ago when I did my first journal entry for this. So this week I'm saying, "Good morning, Lord Jesus," and I try to wait in the presence of the Lord, be centered in him, waiting on him, letting the Lord bring a scripture, a picture, a word, or something, you know, start me off. And how many of y'all believe the Lord is always faithful? He always gives me something. So I'm waiting this morning, and a couple of key phrases came to me throughout the week. One was turning point, and one was Valley Forge. And I believe that's part of the message for today. So turning point. Anybody heard the phrase turning point lately? I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. God has taken this tragedy and turned it into a triumph. And I'm saying, Lord, turning point, turning point. And you know, as best as I understand it, what that meant for Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk, his message, his ministry, is the movement really that God used through that turning point. It was taking something that was and turning it into what it is to be. I mean, isn't what God has taken in our nation, taken what was. I mean, the honest truth is, as a nation, weren't we in a pretty dark place not too long ago? Where the voice of Christianity was being silenced, where the voice of courage and biblical values was being silenced. You know, the voice of life instead of death and abortion being silenced. The voice of man and woman and being clear cut with our children about whether you're a boy or a girl being silenced and confused in a culture. I mean, wasn't there a season of darkness upon our land? And those who had the voice and the heart to speak out being silenced as well. But God had a turning point. God had a shifting, a turning, a changing of the heart of a nation. And even now, even in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the blood he poured out, just like when God the Father poured out the blood of Jesus, there was a turning in the world. And I believe God has taken that tragedy and turning it into a triumph. There is a turning point, amen? A turning point, a shifting point. Something is shifting in our hearts. Something is shifting in our land. I started to say the genie is out of the bottle. But I don't believe in genies. But you know what I mean? Something's been brought out of the box. The lid has been lifted. Something has arisen and is arising and is never going to change. I don't think we're ever going to go back. Who agrees with me right there? Who agrees with me right there? We're never going back to that. We've been through that. We've experienced that. We've been through that, but we will now be in a place we've never been before. And that place, never been before. God's lifting us to a place we've never been before. I believe the Lord would say, my sons and my daughters, I'm taking this tragedy and I'm lifting you up into a place you have never been before. Does that sound like something the Father would say to us? I mean, a place we've never been before. Praise God for the good places we have in the past. Praise God for the anchors of hope we have. Praise God for the stones of remembrance where we've been before. But God has taken us to a new place. There's a new fervor, a new passion. Can you feel it? I'm not talking about this morning. a new passion, a new fervor in the body of Christ, in the body and the bride of Christ. God is stirring up something. Wow, looking at the young people, that's an amazing sight to behold, the young people. I got to be with them over Wednesday morning over at the middle school. It's amazing to see those young people coming. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're ready to receive. They're ready to be set on fire with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. There is a holy fire that God is kindling among his people. We've never been this way before. I believe even as a nation, who thinks God's not done with America yet? God's not done with America yet. He has a purpose. He has a calling. He has a destiny. He's stirring in our hearts to lift us up into that place. Not exalting a nation, but exalting a Savior. Not exalting our way of life, but exalting the one who is the way and the truth and the life. And he will impart that through us. He will export that through us to the nations of the earth. I believe that. And I believe God is stirring up a fire, stirring up a passion in us. Using our faith, bringing us into the family of God, releasing us in the freedom we have to be all God created us to be. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Was as he gave me that word this week, turning point, and I'm pondering that, you know, taking us where we were, turning us, releasing us into what we are to be, brought to mind a key scripture from Psalm 107. Talk about turning point. Psalm 107, Verse 6 says this, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. That's the turning point. No matter what distress you're in, no matter what struggle you're facing, no matter what battle, challenges, circumstances you're going through, maybe it's a death in your family. Maybe your kids are struggling with drugs. Maybe you're worried about your children at school getting bullied or getting bullied physically or getting bullied mentally, almost indoctrinated into something that's just not the truth. Or maybe you're struggling with a sickness or a disease or cancer or your husband's been taken away. We all have something we're struggling with, amen? But wherever that is, whatever our distress is, God invites us to go to our knees. That was the turning point in Psalm 107. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress, and he heard, and he answered. He lifted them up. He rescued them. He delivered them. He saved them. There's four different examples as you go through Psalm 107, places where people are in difficult, dark circumstances. Maybe it's a sickness, it's a battle. They're in darkness, they're in misery, they're in gloom, it says. They're battling the forces of nature. But every time, every circumstance that's there in Psalm 107, it says, and then they cried out to the Lord, and he heard. They cried out to the Lord, he delivered them. They cried out to the Lord, he answered them, he saved them, he redeemed them. He sent forth his word and saved them. He broke the bars of iron. He broke the doors of bronze. He came to deliver his people. When did God move? When did God hear? When did God answer? When they cried out to the Lord. That's the turning point, y'all. No matter what battle we're going through, battle in our mind, battle in our hearts, battle in our relationships, battle in our generations, battle in our city, our nation, in the earth, then they cried out to the Lord. Well, they got on their knees. To me, that's what that means. They cried out to the Lord. That's like, get on your knees. Take a knee. Speak up to God. Cry out to God. Call in the name of the Lord, and God will answer. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We have a God who hears. We have a God who loves us, a God who knows every battle, every struggle we're going through, but he doesn't leave us in the struggle. He brings us through the struggles. Like Isaiah 43 says, though you go through the waters, they will not overwhelm you. Though you go through the rivers, they shall not overcome you. Though you go through the fires, they shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. I am with you. I love you. I honor you. You are precious in my sight, so do not fear. Isn't that the heart of God? Praise God. Praise God. He loves us. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen, amen. So that's the turning point. Desperation. Crying out to God. Seeking God. Lord brings to mind that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. See, the darkness, the struggles, the battles, whatever we're going through, those are opportunities. They're opportunities to call on the name of the Lord. They're opportunities to remember how God has been faithful through everything we've been through. And to trust in the same God that was faithful through that battle, through that struggle against those adversaries I faced in that day. He is the same God who's with me today. He is the same God who reaches down and lifts me up and brings me through today. Do y'all serve that God? Do you know that God? That God is alive. That God is active. That God is here. He is here because he loves us. He is for us. He sees us. He sees everything we're going through. He sees every hurt in our heart. He sees every sin in our life. He sees every wound, every chain, every bondage, every stronghold. He sees our stinking flesh. But he loves us anyway. And he lifts us up. He lifts us up and positions us in that place so he can shine through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even in our death, there is life. Even in our death, there is life. Death to ourselves. Death to our will apart from God's will. Death to our ways apart from God's ways. Those are the things that need to die. So God can arise and shine in us. He can display the life of Christ in us. The life of Christ through everyone. We are the body of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. So turning point. And then a couple of days ago, the Lord gave me this word, Valley Forge. Hadn't thought about Valley Forge in a long time. I said, Lord, what's that all about? And I'm waiting on the Lord. And pretty soon that picture of General George Washington comes to mind. And y'all know the famous painting. You know, it's there in the Revolutionary War. And the Continental Army is in disarray. People are brokenhearted, they're discouraged, they're in despair. The men are going home in the bitter, bitter winter. And there's a picture of their general who gets on his knees and prays. In their distress, they cried out to God. And he heard, he answered, he delivered them, he saved them. That was the turning point of our nation. We had many adversaries in those days. And remember, our true adversaries, our true enemies are not even the human flesh and blood, but the enemy will use human flesh and blood to be our enemies. The war was not going well. Those were dark days for America. A lot of hopelessness, despair, discouragement. And the general, the leader of the land, got on his knees. Boy, they can't take that away from us in American history. There are those that would want to silence that, erase that, rewrite that. That is the truth. General George Washington got on his knees and cried out to the Creator of heaven and earth. The one who had a flag commission called the Appeal to Heaven and had that flag flown over the troops and over the ships. An appeal to heaven, saying only heaven can save us. Only heaven can establish what you put in heart to be as a nation. An appeal to heaven. And the greatest picture of an appeal to heaven is on our knees. Oh God, you see what's going on. Oh God, you know the battle we're facing. Oh God, many of the adversaries against us. Oh God, would you open a door? Oh God, would you hear? Oh God, would you answer? Would you come and save and deliver us? And God did. There was a shifting, a turning point in the hearts of those soldiers. Heart of General Washington, those soldiers, you've seen that other famous picture. He's on the front of that boat, and they're going across the Delaware River, and they catch their enemy in surprise. I think it was Christmas Day. And that was the turning point of that war. Because there was a turning point in the hearts of the men, the hearts and the leadership of our nation at that moment. Not too many years later, there's the Battle of Yorktown and great victory when the greatest navy of the world bows the knee to the nation God established, the United States of America. Not for the sake of America, but for the sake of God and his mission and his purpose and everything he wants to do through the people in this land. There was a turning point that happened. On that winter day, there's a turning point that can happen in every one of us. I mean, there's a turning point from where we turn to God instead of turning to relying on ourselves. We turn to God instead of the world and the ways of our culture. We turn to God instead of the brokenness, the woundedness, the bondage of our past. We turn to God and he saves us. He heals us. He sets us free. Amen. There may be somebody here this morning, and you, this is your turning point. This is your point to turn to God. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard about the one who died on a cross, poured out his blood, who was slain for us, who took upon himself our sins that we could be forgiven, that we could be free. And this is your turning point today. Oh, we want you today. Let this be the day of salvation. Let this be the day you turn to God. Let him forgive you and heal you and fill you with his Spirit and turn your life around. Amen? Yeah, if that's you, well, at the end, we're going to all be joining a prayer of surrender to the Lord, all who will. But if that's you today, please come to our prayer team. Please come. Let our pastors, our staff know that this is your turning point today. And your life will never be the same. Y'all agree? Amen, amen, amen. Some of us need a turning point in our pain, turning point in our hurt. No, it's not time for you to come up yet, Cass. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Go and sin no more. I tricked him. My message was a little shorter than they expected this morning, but y'all got me on a roll now. Can I just go ahead? All right. So whatever that turning point is in our lives, let's open up. Let's turn to God. Let's turn away from everything that's holding us back from being all God's created to be. We have a God who wants to set us free to be like Jesus in this world. As he is, so are we to be in this world. God is conforming us all into the image of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, another turning point came to mind preparing for today. Turning point happened for David. You know, David in the Bible, he was anointed to be king, but there were many years of suffering. Many years of many adversaries coming against him. Even though God had opened up a door of heaven over his life to lead the nation of Israel, he was not there yet. In fact, he was being attacked and chased down, shouted down by those in authority in the land. And probably the darkest day of David's life happened at a little place called Ziklag. I know you probably hadn't heard Ziklag in a long time. Just say it out loud. Ziklag. Sounds kind of funny to say. So are you talking in tongues or what? Ziklag. I looked up even this morning, early this morning, when I got up to pray. What does that word Ziklag mean? It's from 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to share a little bit of that story. But the word Ziklag, the word Ziklag has a meaning. You know, just about everything, person, place in the Bible has meaning. Ziklag, that little town, has a meaning. It means both crushed, poured out, but it can also mean overflowing. Isn't that like God, to take the same word and take tragedy and turn it into triumph? Take what is crushed and turn it into abundance. That's what God does. That's what God did for David at Ziklag. It was a time when David, he's taking his armies, and they're battling their enemies. And then they come back to Ziklag, and all the women are gone. All the children are gone. All their possessions, everything they have in this world is gone. It had been taken captive by their enemy, the Amalekites. And you know, in the Bible, everything in the Old Testament, every story in the Old Testament, those real people, real armies, real swords and blood and guts, all that's real. But all that's also speaking to us in the New Covenant about the spiritual promises of God. So their enemies were real. Our enemies are the spiritual forces of darkness in this present darkness, right? Yes, sir. So the Amalekites came, just like the enemy, our adversary comes to steal and kill and destroy. So he came to gather up everything they held dear in this world and took them captive, took it away. And it was a dark day for David and his leadership. In fact, so dark, it says they wept until they could weep no more. Have you ever been in that place? You cried till you couldn't cry no more. You know, you poured out your heart. You prayed till your voice was hoarse. You want to just, God, do you even see me? God, do you even care? Are you there, God? Don't you see what's happening? They wept until they could weep no more. And then, like it happens, sometimes the world will take grief and sadness and all that's happening and turn around and start to turn people against one another. Take the grief and turn it into anger. Take the sorrow and turn it into hatred. Well, the enemy loves to come and divide and conquer. He loves to turn us against one another. And that was happening in the days of David, even among his own men. It says they took up stones to stone him. To stone him. And somehow in that moment, lost everything. Wives and children, possessions. Now the loyalty of his men. And what did David do? He inquired of the Lord. What does that mean? He got down on his knees and cried out to the Lord in his distress. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, if you don't show up, all is lost. Oh God, where are you? Oh God, how, what do I do? Where do I go? Oh God, show me. That's a cry of desperation. That's a cry of faith. David cried out in faith. He inquired of the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Some versions say David encouraged himself in the Lord. Because when we turn to God, he encourages us. When we turn to God, he strengthens us. The Bible says, when I am weak, then I am strong. His power is made perfect in my weakness. His grace is sufficient for me. See, we experience his grace in the desperation of faith. Faith and calling on the name of the Lord, crying out to him in our distress. David encouraged himself, strengthened himself in the Lord, and the Lord said, go and pursue. And so from that place where David's men were ready to stone him, David arose from his knees, and those same men led him. And they went to the camp of the Amalekites. And they took back everything that was stolen from him. All their families, all their possessions. The Bible says they brought back everything that was taken from them. That's a picture of restoration. Complete restoration. How do we get to that place of complete restoration? When we inquire of the Lord. When we cry out to God in our distress. When we trust him with faith. When we trust him as part of the family of God, when we use the freedom we have to pray, to cry out, to call on the name of the Lord, God turns it around. You might say that was David's turning point. God turned it all around right there. You think he'll do the same for you? Whatever you're going through, whatever your community is going through, whatever your nation is going through, whatever we will go through in the days to come, the answer will always be the same. Jesus. Turn to the Lord our God. Cry out to the Lord our God. Cry out to the one who's both the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, but also the one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one who utters his voice and his enemies are scattered. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to invite you. Cass, would you please come back if you're still here? He may have left the building by now, I think. And Russ and our team. Amen. There he is. Don't y'all love this man of God? And all the team, come on. As we prepare, I invite you to stand with me if you want to receive this charge, this word about God awakening our hearts to be who he created us to be. In preparation, I just want to share this other scripture. The Lord came to mind speaking of this. This is from Joel. Prophet Joel chapter 3. Talks about an army. And we're not talking about a physical army here. We're talking about the army of the Lord. Not going against our physical enemies, but the enemies of this present darkness, the spiritual enemies who come to steal and kill and destroy in our lives. And God looks at us and he says, would you be part of my army? Would you allow me to forge you like a weapon in my hand? Valley Forge, a weapon that's forged in the fires of God to be a weapon for the purposes of God. Even in the valley places, even in the low places, that's where God sharpens us. That's where he says, I am alive. I am active. I'm sharper than a two-edged sword, and you are my sword. The Lord says, I am the Spirit of the Lord. I am the Word of God, and I am in you. Would you let me express my love through you, my words through you, my truth for you, through you? Would you be a sharpened sword in my hand, a sword that's been sharpened in the valleys of your life, forged in the fires of your afflictions? You are a sword in my hand, says the Lord, I believe. So this scripture in Joel 3 speaks of an army. Joel 3, beginning at verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Stir up the warriors. Let all the soldiers draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am a warrior, some versions say. He goes on to say, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread the winepress, for it is full. The vats overflow, for wickedness is great. You are the army of the Lord. You are the body, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are disciples of Jesus Christ, sent forth to go forth and make disciples of nations. Yes, you and I, we've been through the battles. We've been through the valleys. We've been through the dark places, through the waters and the rivers and the fires. But God has been with us. And God is with us right now. And God will be with us as he awakens us, as he awakens us to be all he created us to be. If you agree with that, let's just speak it out loud. Say, yes, Lord, I agree. I am a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to awaken me, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Set me ablaze with your holy fire. Send me forth to display your glory through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree. Thank you, Lord. Let it be so. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. God bless you all.